The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Positively Pro-Life aims to bring you inspirational stories, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm Bonnie Finnerty, Education Director at the Federation, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Maria Gallagher, the Legislative Director. Hi, Maria.
Hello, Bonnie. So good to be with you today.
So good to be with you. So much has been happening in the pro-life movement lately. 2021 has been a year of very significant pro-life legislation and court cases. The pro-life movement is certainly gaining great momentum. To help us stay on top of all the developments, we will have two very well-informed, highly respected leaders of the pro-life movement in Pennsylvania join us today as our guests. Michael Chicochopo, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and a wonderfully familiar voice, Legislative Director Maria Gallagher, will be here to help us better understand the implications of pro-life legislation and court cases. In addition, Maria will fill us in on our newly introduced Senate Bill 956, an amendment to the PA Constitution regarding abortion. This can be a true game changer for life. But first, we will have a brief pro-life inspiration to start off our podcast. Now, Christmas Day is just a few days away, and for Christians, this is more than the birth of a baby to a teen mother in a humble stable. Now, I realize not all of our listeners are Christian, and the Federation itself is a non-denominational organization. Yet, with Christmas being such a prevalent celebration in our culture, we think it's worth going beyond the glittery gifts in the Hallmark movies and pondering what this holiday means to Christians. For Christians, Christmas celebrates the incarnation of an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything God of the universe, creator of all. This is him taking on human flesh, entering the material world so that he could minister to the broken, establish his church, and redeem his people so that they could have eternal salvation. Now, for Christians, this long-awaited savior actually could have entered into the created world by any means imaginable because he is all powerful. He could have descended from the clouds arrayed in plush regal robes and a jeweled crown, or he could have emerged from the desert equipped with battle gear, ready to lead his chosen people to victory over their enemies. He could have materialized from the fire of a burning bush, proclaiming once again the commandments his people needed to keep. But Christians hold that he came as a baby, a fetus. Jesus was a fetus, actually an embryo, even a zygote, just like all of us once were. And this has implications. For Christians, the maker of the entire universe entered into the world in the smallest possible way as a tiny being within a woman's womb. Tiny, vulnerable, dependent, in need of protection, just like all of us. Christians believe that Mary's fiat, or yes to life, despite the seemingly less than perfect circumstances, is a lesson to be emulated. And they believe that the womb is a sacred space, a sanctuary for life intentionally created by an almighty God. For Christians, Christmas is a celebration of their Savior's birth, but also a reminder of a call to love, protect, and care for all life, even when, or perhaps especially when, the circumstances surrounding it are less than perfect. Truly, for those who believe, Jesus's birth is the ultimate pro-life story. It is an invitation and an inspiration to say yes to life. Maria.
Bonnie, the toll is staggering. According to statistics obtained by the Pennsylvania Department of Health, in 2019 alone, some 31,018 abortions occurred in the Keystone State. Think of how many kindergarten classes that would amount to. It's a tragic statistic, made all the more so because with every abortion, a mother is left to grieve the child she has lost. Abortion totals could skyrocket in Pennsylvania if the abortion industry wins its quest for large-scale taxpayer funding of abortion in the Commonwealth. Abortion operations have filed a lawsuit seeking to declare a so-called right to abortion and taxpayer funding of abortion under the state constitution. The suit, known as Allegheny Reproductive Health Center versus PA Department of Human Services, is now before the PA Supreme Court. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, an affiliate of National Right to Life, has filed an amicus or friend of the court brief in the case. The Federation argues quite rightly that abortion has no place in the PA Constitution. If the abortion industry prevails, not only would Pennsylvania's time-honored ban on Medicaid-funded abortions be overturned, but also laws banning late-term abortion, 24-hour waiting periods for abortion, and parental consent for abortions would be wiped out. Such protective laws have been credited with cutting abortion totals in half in Pennsylvania since they went into effect in 1994. But Pennsylvanians do have recourse, even if the abortion industry wins its lawsuit. Senate Bill 956, sponsored by Senator Judy Ward, a Republican from Central Pennsylvania, seeks to keep abortion out of the PA Constitution. The legislation would establish an amendment to the PA Constitution, guaranteeing no right to abortion or to taxpayer funding of abortion. In order to take effect, the constitutional amendment must pass both the PA House of Representatives and the State Senate in two consecutive sessions. It would then be placed on the statewide ballot for voters to decide. As Senator Ward stated, Pennsylvania's laws that protect the life and health of women and preborn children are in jeopardy, including those related to gestational age for an abortion, informed consent for an abortion, and regulation of abortion clinics. Senator Ward also decried the abortion industry's efforts to eliminate Medicaid restrictions on taxpayer funding of abortion. She stated, "Forcing taxpayer funding of any elective abortion would necessarily result in a reallocation of funding priorities, potentially jeopardizing the real healthcare needs of the almost 3 million Pennsylvanians on Medicaid." Now, national public opinion polls consistently show that the vast majority of Americans do not want their hard-earned tax dollars to pay for abortions. The constitutional amendment, then, would be in keeping with the will of the people to safeguard taxpayer money from the abortion industry. Because of pro-life majorities in the Pennsylvania Senate and House of Representatives, the abortion industry and its allies have been unable to pass pro-abortion legislation. As a result, they have turned to the courts in an effort to strike down Pennsylvania's time-tested protective laws. Senator Ward added, "What the abortion industry is asking the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to do is to bypass both the legislative process and the constitutional amendment process and to manufacture out of thin air a right to elective abortion and taxpayer funding of elective abortion, presumably during all 9 months of pregnancy." If you live in Pennsylvania, please contact your state lawmakers and urge them to support this constitutional amendment. So many innocent lives depend on it. Bonnie?
Maria, thank you so much for that excellent update. Well, I am just delighted to welcome my guest to today's podcast. Michael Chico Chopo has been the executive director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation for nearly 20 years. An Air Force veteran and former hospital administrator, he has worked tirelessly for two decades to educate the public on the issues of abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia, and he has championed critical legislation that protects the most vulnerable in society. He's joined today by Maria Gallagher, our legislative director and PAC director for the Federation. Maria has also been with the Federation for almost 20 years, having previously worked as a legislative associate with Ohio Right to Life, as a reporter and a news producer. A talented and prolific writer, Maria has penned hundreds of articles on a variety of pro-life topics, and she has spoken at countless public events on life issues. It's a pleasure to work with these two every single day, and I'm happy to share them, their knowledge, their wisdom, and their pro-life insight with our listeners today. Thank you, Michael and Maria, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie, and thank you for working with us.
It is a pleasure. So, Michael, let's start by making sure our listeners are familiar with the Federation. Can you tell us what is the specific mission of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and why is that the mission?
Well, the Federation, just so everybody's clear, is the largest single issue pro-life organization in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And we are nonprofit. We're non-sectarian, as you mentioned earlier. We're not connected with any religious faith, and we are nonpartisan. So we are on all sides of the aisle for anybody who is pro-life. And we work with people of all faiths. We have people of many, many different faiths part of our organization. And we believe that every person from fertilization to natural death has a fundamental right to life. So that this life issue is actually a human rights issue for us. So through education, through legislation, through political action, we proclaim the truth about abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia, including so-called assisted suicide. And we have a vision for a world that sees all these attacks on human life as being unthinkable. That's what we're working for. But we work for these specific issues, which you mentioned in your introduction to me, because these are the issues, the pro-life issues, that generally pro-life people all find to be very unjust when it comes to human life.
Very good. Can you share with us some important statistics that people should know regarding abortion in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's important because even pro-life people, you know, are staggered sometimes by the numbers. Over 63 million innocent Americans and people in America have been killed by abortion since Roe versus Wade was wrongly decided back in 1973. 63 million have lost their lives here. Now we're at about 850,000 babies die from abortion every single year. That's over 2,500 babies every day die from abortion in America. I mean, that's a staggering number. Think about that. That is probably over 100 kindergarten classes a day. And as Maria mentioned, here in Pennsylvania, it's over 31,000 die from abortion. And people should know that 65% of women believe that they were coerced in some way into getting the abortion that they got. So that blows the whole lid off of the whole pro-choice mantra that we hear from Planned Parenthood, because technically more than 50% of the abortions that are committed in this country are not the choice of the woman who has the abortion. And that has got to end.
Yes, that's true. It's not a choice if you feel forced into it, right?
Right.
So what are some of the biggest accomplishments of the Federation over the years?
Well, the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation was one of the prime advocates for the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act, which we talk about so much on this program and everything that we do every day. That Abortion Control Act, once it was enacted back and actually survived a challenge at the U.S. Supreme Court, once it went into effect back in the 1990s, it cut the number of abortions in half in Pennsylvania with its 24-hour waiting period that a woman has to wait after she receives her informed consent, with parental consent required for minors to get abortions, and with no third trimester abortions in Pennsylvania unless the life of the mother is seriously threatened or at risk by continuing to carry the child. And in this day and age at 24 weeks, babies can be delivered alive. They don't even need to be aborted. So we essentially have no legal abortions after 24 weeks gestation in Pennsylvania. We really had a lot to do with getting that passed. Another tremendous accomplishment, I think, of the Federation is we have over 40 local chapters. We have chapters covering over 40 counties in the state of Pennsylvania at the local level, following the mission that I just described to you in their local communities. And we educate the public on multiple levels and multiple platforms in a wide variety of ways, including this Positively Pro-Life podcast.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Maria, on December 1st, for the first time in 30 years, the Supreme Court heard a case on abortion. What is the case Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health all about?
Well, this is really a groundbreaking case. It's a landmark case because it's a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. And it involves a 15-week ban on abortion in Mississippi. So it's a pre-viability ban. And the court must decide if pre-viability bans are constitutional. We believe that they are. And in fact, that the court should overrule Roe versus Wade because there just isn't a good reason to keep it around. Even pro-abortion forces have said that Roe versus Wade is likely to be overturned. And this Mississippi case is a case which could determine that. And there have been many, many legal briefs filed in it. And I know one in particular was interesting because it put forth the viewpoint that women do not need abortions in order to succeed in life. There's this misconception that in order to achieve something in your career, if you're a woman, you have to have abortion. And that simply isn't the case. I mean, I was able to rise in the ranks of journalism, becoming a reporter and a television producer, and I didn't need an abortion in order to do that. I know you, Bonnie, were a very esteemed educator, and you were a teacher, and you didn't need abortion for that either. I mean, this whole idea that we have to sacrifice our children for our careers is appalling, and it's one of the reasons why Roe has to go.
Excellent, Maria. It really is anti-woman to say that we have to, like you said, sacrifice our children in order to advance in our education or in our careers. It's profoundly anti-woman. And yes, Roe does have to go. I know that we also, the Federation, submitted an amicus brief to the court. So could you explain what our amicus brief argued?
Happy to. Our brief makes a simple but profound point, and that is this, that there are two patients that must be cared for in modern obstetrical practice, the baby and the mother. You can't separate those two. They have to both be cared for. And it would be rare that an abortion would be needed to manage a pregnancy successfully. You just don't need abortion, medically speaking. Claims that elective abortions must be allowed because abortion is statistically safer than childbirth should be rejected. The risk of dying from abortion or childbirth is negligible in today's society. You know, the pro-abortion side would have you believe that there have been no medical advancements at all since 1973. That simply isn't the case. We have medical advancements for both the mother and the child, and they can both be cared for. And although abortion is a medical procedure, it is rarely a medical decision. Most women say when they have abortions that they do so because they lack support. In other words, they may lack support from the father of the child or from a parent or from other family members. It's not because of a medical issue. And that's important to keep in mind. A lot of women say that they have abortions because of their schooling situation. And we need to provide women with support so that they can get their education, that they can have their jobs, and yet also care for their children or place their children for adoption if they so choose. discussing maternal mortality rates in relation to elective abortion has no practical relevance. And an overturn of Roe would not likely increase maternal mortality because Roe was not responsible for the reduction in maternal mortality from abortion. Women were not dying in large numbers from illegal abortion prior to Roe. And the reduction in maternal mortality was primarily due to the advent of antibiotics and blood transfusions, improvements in the administration of anesthesia, and other medical advances in caring for pregnant women. So for all of these reasons, we need to uphold the Mississippi 15-week ban, and we need to overturn Roe.
And what will happen if they overturn Roe? What happens then, Maria? Can you explain?
Well, it's most likely that the whole issue of abortion would return to the states, and then the individual states would have a say in their abortion policy. In other words, elected officials, state legislatures would have a say, governors would have a say. And that makes sense because this is an issue that should be decided on a state-by-state basis. And Roe basically took the power away from the people to decide these issues. And it was an outrageous decision, legalizing abortion in all 50 states. And it just wasn't necessary. And the death toll, as Michael pointed out, has been staggering. I mean, we have 63 million lives that have been snuffed out because of legal abortion since 1973. And we need to be able to protect life on the state level. And that's why an overturn of Roe is so desperately needed.
Yeah, the numbers are staggering and very, very hard to comprehend. And I know people are often surprised when I share the statistics with them. And as Michael and you had pointed out, in Pennsylvania, we have over 30,000 abortions every year. And that comes down to an average of 85 abortions every single day. It's such a tremendous loss of life. So if Roe is overturned and the decisions come back to the state, what are we doing in Pennsylvania to prepare for that?
We've been preparing for an overturn of Roe for many years in Pennsylvania. I would say we've been preparing for it for decades. And one of the phenomenal outreaches of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is our chapter base. I mean, we have these local county-based chapters throughout the Commonwealth. They are our grassroots activists, and they will work to ensure that we have pro-life legislation, good pro-life laws in Pennsylvania. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have a special challenge in Pennsylvania because of this court case before the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. And it is very important that we pass a constitutional amendment to ensure that there's no right to abortion or taxpayer funding of abortion under the PA Constitution. So people should contact their state lawmakers at this point, the representatives in both the House and the Senate in Pennsylvania, and urge them to support Senate Bill 956, that constitutional amendment, which basically just leaves the decision up to the state legislature and the governor where the decision belongs. And it takes it away from the courts. The courts were never meant to decide matters of this scope. It was meant to be decided by the people through their elected representatives. And that's what we want to ensure in Pennsylvania.
And, you know, I think another thing that people need to realize is that we have a great support system for women in need. One of the things the Federation has done is supported Real Alternatives, which has helped fund these pregnancy resource centers that women and families can go to and get not just material help, but emotional help, relationship counseling. They could be connected to other community resources that will help them with their educational needs, with their employment needs. There is a wide network of people wanting to help women in an authentic way. So like we said, they don't have to sacrifice their families. They don't have to sacrifice their own children. We're working to provide a network of support. And it's so important that women hear that and know where to go.
Definitely.
So in these last few minutes, Michael and Maria, either one of you or both, what are your thoughts about how someone listening today, how can they make sure that Pennsylvania is a state where every life is protected and defended? How can they get involved?
Well, I would like to say that, as Maria mentioned, the chapters are the grassroots. And so where people have a local chapter in their area, they could join that and they can go to our website to find out where they are. But that the type of thing that we do may not be the forte for every pro-lifer. Some pro-lifers are maybe meant to really work one-on-one with people in those pregnancy resource centers that you talked about. So there are so many niches within the pro-life movement. Some people may be post-abortive themselves and have come to terms with that, and maybe are they able to help other people who are post-abortive come to terms with that. Maybe people want to go to the Planned Parenthood centers and the abortion centers where these abortions are taking place and just be a prayerful presence there outside of those centers and pray for these people at the last minute that they would change their mind, or maybe become a sidewalk counselor at one of these centers and try and help people before they go in. There are so many different things people can find out. And the other thing they can do is they can support the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. They can support other pro-life ministries in their areas with their financial contributions, because that's what keeps these organizations going. And most of these organizations, as the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, have a way to donate online. So I would encourage people to do that, especially at the end of the year. You want to get a tax deduction. What a better place to give your money than to a pro-life organization.
And I want to point out that people should call and email and visit, if possible, their state representative and state senator, and urge them to support Senate Bill 956, the constitutional amendment, which would ensure no taxpayer funding of abortion or fundamental right to abortion. It's very important that people become engaged with their state lawmakers, because that's the way that we'll ensure a culture of life in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Maria and Michael. You're both a wealth of information and a wealth of activism and just an inspiration. I can't thank you enough for the 20 years that both of you have dedicated to this cause. You truly are doing amazing life-saving work. So thank you. Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with more than 40 local-based county chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. To learn more about the inspiring work of the Federation, please visit our website at paprolife.org. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.